with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
By the end of today, all 32 NFL teams will have reported to training camp. The road to the Super Bowl starts now. Welcome into the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Alongside three-time Super Bowl winning executive Michael Lombardi, I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Michael, when you think of report day and these first few days of training camp getting underway, like, what does this time of year signify for you as a former GM?
The marathon begins, right? And it's about the pacing yourself. But what I love about it, I was just talking about this on McAfee, is the fact that we can get into a routine, that you kind of have a routine and, you know, the unpredictability of the offseason is eliminated. The offseason is hard because, you know, you be at office and all of a sudden a contract comes in or something changes and now, you know, some plans you made are no longer available to fulfill themselves. Whereas in the season with a routine, you know you're going to be off at this point. You know this is happening. And it's pretty much we just work towards the season. Plus, it gives you an opportunity to look at something that you've worked on to build to see if what you thought was the problem was the problem. What you thought could solve the problem, solved the problem. Mm.
And we're going to dive into a lot of what some of those potential problems might be for a handful of teams coming up in just a little bit on the show. We're going to continue going through your big questions for teams around the NFC. Also, this hour and 30 minutes, VSiN's own Adam Burke is going to join us. The NFL betting guide is out now here at VSiN. The college football betting guide will be here before you know it. First games getting underway in just over a month. We'll also have NFL betting analyst Connor Allen join the show. And we'll have like a full GM corner between you and Randy Mueller getting together. Maybe we can get a few training camp memories from the both of you as well. But as for the news of the day, Michael, we've got holdouts, we've got hold-ins, we've got players showing up, people on podiums. So let's jump right in. 49ers wide receiver Brandon Ayuk, we learned yesterday, did report to training camp despite not having the contract he wanted, despite requesting a trade from the team last week. And general manager John Lynch spoke to reporters yesterday addressing the state of Ayuk's contract.
You know, we started this really early. We made it a priority to try to get done. We've had excellent communication throughout. You know, really don't want to characterize it. We haven't been able to, and that's a shame. But, you know, we're Brandon's a big part of our team, and we expect that he will be this year.
John, last year you gave us an absolute that Bosa would not be traded. Would you make that same statement about Brandon?
Well, Kyle and I always, you know, we kind of, I did say that with Bosa and I felt that way, but you know, I think again, no absolutes there. We fully intend on Brandon being a Niner moving forward. We're always open to listen to things. But like I said, we expect Brandon to be an integral part of our team like he has been and, excited about that.
So, Michael, the plan and intent is to keep Brandon Ayuk a 49er, as we have discussed. But what did you think of the follow-up and John Lynch keeping the door open?
I think what he was saying there, if you want to go GM translator, I think what he was saying there was, if someone wants to be stupid and offer us a lot for him, we'll take it. Whereas there's no way he was going to take anything for both. He can't. Dominant pass rushers who can win defensive player of the year are rare. And so they're separate. And so, but what he's saying is if somebody wants to be stupid and pay us ridiculous amounts for Brandon, we'll be more than willing to listen, which I think is what he has to do. Look, I think the difference is Ayuk's a really good player, but he's not a rare player. Bosa's a rare player. There lies the difference.
When it comes to the wide receiver situation as a whole, do you still stand by the thought process that, okay, Brandon Ayuk is going to play on the team this year, as we all expect, and then at the end of this coming season, the team's going to have to be forced to pick between he and Deebo Samuel, and they're most likely to pick Ayuk? Do you still stand by that thought process?
Yeah, I do. Because, look, they have so many. Now, a lot of it's going to depend on Pearsall, too, who they drafted in the first round, right? It's going to depend on what his growth is, how he handles his development. Cowling, we know from his career at the University of Arizona and at UTEP, he's going to be more of an inside receiver, and he's going to be able to contribute on four downs, be a punt returner, take Ray McLeod's job away. So I think there lies the void. If Pearsall's an outside receiver, I think certainly they could look to do that. They have Jennings, who's a little bit of both. But what they have is too many inside receivers. And look, as great as Debo is, and Debo's a talented football player, make no mistake about it, but Debo's really a running back playing wide receiver, not a wide receiver that's great with the playing running back. He is a running back, and they could line him up in the backfield, and you wouldn't miss a beat. Now, could he stay healthy? I don't know. But he, you have to get the ball in his hands to make him effective. He's not going to win on routes on the outside. He's not a polished route runner. He's not a polished third down runner. That's where Ayuk becomes so valuable.
Yeah. You mentioned Ricky Pearsall, the 49ers first round pick from Florida. He, by the way, suffered a hamstring injury. He's on the PUP list, at least to start here as training camp gets underway. Ayuk, 1,342 yards last year, seventh in the NFL, 17.9 yards per reception, second in the league. So maybe I was just looking through the most receiving yards in the league prop board. 22-1 to have the most receiving yards might be a little bit long. Justin Jefferson, Michael, of course, we know reset the market with what he is being paid. And with that, while Ayuk is there and available, another star wide receiver is not. CeeDee Lamb for the Dallas Cowboys did not make the trip to California where things sit right now as the rest of the team did. He also skipped the mandatory minicamp in June. So he's already got fines of $100,000 in the pocket. And now it's going to be $50,000 per day that he doesn't show up to practice. What do you make of the latest in Dallas?
I don't know how smart this is on him. And obviously, you know, does he just feel like Jerry's going to just forgive the fines? I can't answer that. To me, look, there's got to be a reason why this deal's getting done. And my instincts tell me, knowing the league, and I'd be interested to see what Randy Mueller thinks about this, is it's really how do you value Justin Jefferson's deal? The media values it at $35 million. People in the league think it's $32 million, think it's in line with A.J. Brown. But I think there lies the rub. And I think, to me, this deal shouldn't be hard to do based on the Jefferson deal. Is he as good as Jefferson? No. Could he? Should he have a deal similar to him? Yes. You know, there's so many receiver deals. It shouldn't be a hard deal to do unless you're interpreting the deal a different way. And for him to throw away $100,000 on the minicamp and then throw away more, look, this is not going to be good, and I think it's going to affect their team this year. This is what worries you so much about their team. It's going to affect them.
And we have heard so many players come out and say that after going through a holdout that it impacted them on the field moving forward. So I agree that is significant. I'm still just trying to figure out what the heck Jerry Jones meant all those months ago when he said they were going all in. Because at first we thought, okay, it just means maybe you're not going all in and the team and the players that you're going to bring in free agency, but you're going all in on these big contracts that you're going to do. You're going to get those done. Yet we're sitting here with CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, and Dak Prescott all without anything done.
But I think he meant all in on getting them done. But I mean, he still hasn't gotten them done, that which is shocking, right? You know, it's like it's not that they don't spend money. And again, you know, they've been sitting here. Think about this, though, Stormy. You know, usually most teams that are trying to improve their team, they go to a player they know is going to be part of their team, like Dak Prescott, who's got a huge cap number. They lower his cap number in terms of guarantee his paragraph five. He's going to be on the team. It's just a clerical issue. And all of a sudden you pick up enormous amounts of cap room, and the Cowboys are not doing it. That's why I don't think they're moving on from Dak, but I'm wondering why they don't just go ahead and try to get some cap room relief from Dak by just guaranteeing $10 million of his salary.
There's a lot of things they could do, but it looks like, I mean, and what, by all accounts, if you're Dak, I don't blame you for not picking up the phone or doing anything, because if you hit the market next year, you could get a serious payday. And with that, so he's trying to figure out when and how much he's going to get paid. Tua Tagovailoa, another one of those guys, although the team in a similar situation, but for different reasons, isn't wanting to pay him what he's asking for. Cameron Wolf of NFL Network said that he will participate similar to OTAs during training camp. He did individual drills in 7-on-7, but not any 11-on-11. And head coach Mike McDaniel said it's important to acknowledge Tua's in the process of contract negotiations, using terms like very fluid and day to day to describe how they'll use him during training camp.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a harder one to do. I think, to me, the Jordan Love deal can get done quickly because the Packers, like the Giants, love Jordan Love. The Giants love Daniel Jones. That was going to get done. The Packers are going to get this done. There's a little bit of a rub here on Tua because they know Tua has limitations. Mm-hmm. They also are worried about Tua, you know, in concussion protocol. So how much of the guarantee are you willing to do? And yeah, it's fluid, but at some point, you know, you're going to want to have him back on the field doing, like, I don't understand it. The fact is he's not going to get hit. Take 7-on-7 or you take team, nobody gets near the quarterback. But I think to me, this, I could see this one lingering. Jeff Darlington of NFL Network reported, or ESPN reported, that it could linger too. I think there's problems here because they like Tua. They're just not willing to go all in on Tua like the Packers are with Love.
Yeah, and you referenced the concussions, only one full healthy season for him this past year. And yes, he did lead the league in passing, but how much was he padding those stats against bad teams? Most notably, you think about the 70-point game yeah. against the Broncos. Against teams over 500, they're 1-6, averaging 16 points per game. And Tua's performance in those games was objectively bad. Like, he was a big part of why they weren't having success on that level. Michael, if you surveyed 30 NFL GMs around the league and you said, pick between Tua or Jordan Love right now, who would you pick? Like, how many of them are saying Jordan Love? If you did the same thing with Purdy and Tua, how many of them are picking Purdy, right? Like, what do you think?
Well, that's why I said, I mean, I don't, Purdy's going to end up breaking the bank like you can't believe. Like, if Love gets this deal, what's Purdy going to get? I can't imagine Kyle or John are sitting there saying, oh my gosh, how do you defend that? I agree with you. Look, Jordan Love, everybody's worried about Tua's longevity, his taking the hits and what he does. I mean, you know, look, he has a hard time in bad weather. That's fact.
Hard time in bad weather against good teams. I'm not sure that's what I would want to sign up for necessarily if I was a team owner or GM. We're just getting started here on the Lombardi Line. When we return, Michael's got questions for these NFC teams entering camp. Plus, a new edition of Hard Knocks came out last night. Why don't we start with Big Blue?
Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN NFL betting guide is out now, and our all-new college football betting guide drops next week, August 1st. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and pro seasons. Our experts providing profiles for each and every team with advanced stats, trends, and power ratings, plus, of course, best bets on futures and season win totals. Sign up before the end of July and receive both guides and full VSiN Pro access to our daily pro picks, 24/7 video, and exclusive data like our betting splits all the way through the Super Bowl for an early bird discount price of just $175. The football special discount price expires July 31st, so don't wait. Head over to vsin.com/subscribe to sign up today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Okay, you know how when you're picking up a rental car at National and there's an Emerald Club and then there's the executive cars? Well, we're headed to the executive lane here on the Lombardi Line. Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi alongside, now as we welcome in, former NFL general manager Randy Mueller as well on the Progressive Guest Line. God, that was such a bad segue. Forgive me, guys. I'm fired. Former NFL GM with the Dolphins and Saints and executive of the year winner, now doing great work with The Athletic. Randy, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great. It's good to be back with you guys. Seeing Mike always brings a smile to my face. I can't figure out why, but I love it.
Thank you, Randy. I appreciate it. It's great to have you. What's your view on this? I mean, the collective bargaining agreement has given executives the tools to prevent holdouts, and yet they just acquiesce to let players hold in. I mean, how would you, am I old school with thinking like, I don't want them in the building if you're not going to practice?
You know, I'm with you. And I said this when it first started 3 or 4 years ago. The fact that we're allowing this to happen now is really nobody's fault but our own. I think that the couple things that transpire just from an emotional standpoint, I think the team loses leverage by having the player there. He's there with his friends. He's in and out of practice. There's no urgency for really anything to happen because everybody's okay. It's kind of like society, right? Everybody's okay with everything now, so we don't want any rules. And that's really what we've done. We may have collectively bargained for this, but it's like saying we're going to allow this. And each player sets precedent. Each team, excuse me, sets precedent now as to if they will allow these hold-ins. I'm with you. I think I'd have a hard time having to deal with these hold-ins where they just go through every day like nothing's wrong, except they're not practicing.
So meanwhile, I was actually going to ask, why don't more players just do that then? Because you have Brandon Ayuk, who not having to be fined, he's on site with everybody hanging out, but CeeDee Lamb's risking $50,000 a day not to be there. If I'm CeeDee, I'm like, I'll at least show up so I'm not getting fined.
Yeah, I totally agree. We're laughing at Marshawn Lynch. He was way before his time. He just said, I'm not I'm here because I don't want to get fined. And that's the theory now with all these guys with the hold ins. It's a struggle. And I think Mike hit it on the head. That the George Youngs of the world, Mike, would roll over in their grave if they heard this, the rules the way they are, and how teams acquiesce to this type of negotiating now.
No question. Maybe Jerry told CeeDee Lamb's agent, or Steven did, that if you come, you're practicing. If you don't come, you're not practicing. Yeah. You're getting fined. I mean, maybe they won't tolerate, and that's why the kid's staying away. What do you make of what's going on in Dallas, Randy, in terms of Dak sitting there with, what, $50 million? I mean, his paragraph 5 is enormous, and Jerry's done nothing to touch it in terms of trying to get more cap room and give himself more cap space. What do you have a sense? What's your GM meter reading on? Do you think they're going to redo Dak's deal, or do you think they really think Trey Lance could be the answer?
You know, the thing that first came in my mind, Mike, when this whole situation came up, and if you remember, Jerry said, hey, we've talked to Dak. We are on the same page. We're kind of new. We know what the plan is. I'm thinking, do they have a deal done in the drawer already? Which we know can't happen, but I'm just saying it gave me a series to just twist my head a little bit and say, what is going on here? Because as we know, Dak holds all the cards. I don't think there's been a player in the history of the league that has more leverage than what Dak Prescott has right now. And so I'm not sure where it stands. It's one of those things where he's going to have a blank check in front of him. He doesn't have to sign even the blank check until somebody puts two blank checks in front of him. Without a tag, without a no trade clause, he's got all the leverage. So I don't know. I have heard a little bit through the grapevine that maybe there is some talk going on. My only thinking with regard to that is maybe they want to get him done so that then they can proceed to CD and Micah Parsons. But Dak being the first pillar to fall, and Dak's such a team guy, he's going to be there. Plus, he's already got his bag of money once. So it's not like he's looking to break it completely. He's been paid well the last 5 years. So it's a struggle. When you consider everything there, it's almost like a what if situation, like we are having New York with the Jets, in that everything has to go right. The coach is on a one-year deal. The quarterback's on a one-year deal. The best receiver has a deal, but we're allowing him to hold out. So there's just all kinds of what ifs with regard to the Cowboys. And I don't see how it makes them better, especially if they hit some rocky times early in the season.
Because you mentioned the Jets, I feel like it's only natural to go down the Hassan Reddick road there with the fact that he is holding out. And this is a team that Michael and I have talked about, felt like they had a deal in principle with Hassan Reddick before they made the trade. Obviously, that has not panned out the way that they anticipated it going. How important is it for the Jets to figure things out with Hassan Reddick?
Well, they've got so many things that are in limbo there that it's hard to have a priority because the list is long, right? That priority list keeps changing. But yeah, I think they made the commitment to give a third round pick that might be a two to get Reddick from the Eagles. Now, whether they got played or not in the deal, people can argue that. But the fact is they have him. They need to probably sign the guy some way, whether it's a one-year bridge deal, whether it's a two-year bridge deal with some fully guaranteed money. They're going to have to ante up to get him because I think it's clear that Hassan Reddick's willing to sit it out. Whether that's smart or not, a whole other story. But I think if they could check a few boxes here and get rid of some doubts, it would help them going forward for sure.
Yeah. Do you have faith that this offensive line and Mike Williams can stay healthy? I mean, they've got a lot of ifs asked for their team. You know, Mike Williams' health. We've got, you know, the left tackle, Tayron Smith's health. I mean, can they, and Morgan Moses, do you think this can all come through health-wise?
I think it's not to mention a 40-year-old Achilles playing up to the normal speed, right? I mean, nothing's ridden more on a 40-year Achilles in the history of the league. So I think it's going to be hard, Mark. I really do. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid that all of these things can happen because they need a lot of things to come through for them. And I think it's a little bit of a prayer for me at this point. Plus, you know, these other teams that they play, we don't get to play East Carolina. We don't get to play some of the lower level teams. They're battling every week. So through attrition alone, they're going to have some injuries. And they're banking on some older guys who haven't been healthy. I think it's an uphill struggle for the Jets. I really do.
Randy Mueller, former NFL GM, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Okay, I want you to tap into the memory bank, if you can, with us back to a training camp of the past. Any fun memories or stories that really stand out to you?
Well, I love training camp. I don't know how Mike feels, but and I loved it when we went away as a team. I was spent 20 years with the Seahawks, and we would go across the state to Cheney half of those years, maybe more. I loved it when our team could get away because the distractions went with it. We could focus on football all the time. When we go to Eastern Washington with the Seahawks, we knew we'd get good weather the whole time. So the distractions were gone. I loved it. And then when I was in New Orleans, we went crazy enough to Thibodeau, which is an hour south of New Orleans. And we had probably the best work environment that I've ever been a part of in pro football. So I love the training camp. The stories happen. They're a lot of fun, but it builds camaraderie. It builds togetherness when you're away from really your normal grounds. That's been my experience. And so I liked it. I think we had a lot more at stake back then because we could actually practice, right? Yeah. We could practice twice a day in pads. We can't do that anymore. It's kind of like a Club Med nowadays compared to what we used to have, right, Mike?
Oh, I was in Rockland with the 49ers. I mean, Joe Montana was sleeping in a college dorm with Dwight Clark. I mean, there was two to a room, you know? Yep. I mean, it was, and we would practice for 3 hours out there on the practice. I mean, it was long. It was grueling. And then in the afternoon, we had a giant pool and Montana and everybody, they play pool basketball, you know, and it was fun and everybody kind of, and you're right. Everybody knew each other and you bonded as a team. Everybody knew your name. Even when you had to go cut players, they were, you know, as I'm sure you did when you started, you know, they were really good about it and they handled it. But I, you know, going to Seattle, am I wrong to think they're going to be vastly improved with Mike McDonald helping their defense?
Oh, I definitely think they're improved. I think they really kind of underachieved. That's just my opinion. The last couple of years, I thought they were better than they showed. And to Pete's credit, he always would find a way, Mike, to fix the defense. They seemed like they started slow every year and come around week 8 or 9, he would be in the middle of the defense and they got better. I think they're going to start better. And I think what they've done is they've gotten some players now that actually fit in the scheme that they're going to run. And that's always been a little bit of a struggle, I think, with Seattle the last few years is they've acquired some talent, but they haven't built a team. And I think McDonald will give them a little more of a better fit for the personnel that they have and a more defined fit, if that makes any sense.
Randy, excellent insight as Absolutely. Always. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Randy. Thanks, great seeing you, man. Yeah. Keep in touch. Thank you, Randy. Thank
Randy
you.
Mueller, everybody. Check out all of the great work over at the Athletic. Win total for the Seattle Seahawks this year in year one of Mike McDonald setting at 7.5. Keep it in the division. 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan could not believe this NFL coach was left without a job. He offered him one. It was declined. We'll talk about that and more with a GM translator coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you like watching and listening to VSiN, you'll love all of our betting tools and content at VSiN.com. We got best bets each and every day from all of our show hosts, guests, and experts, updated betting splits, exclusive articles, including regular columns from our own Michael Lombardi, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides, and so much more. The NFL betting guide out now and the college football betting guide coming out next Thursday. Get ready. Head to VSiN.com today alongside Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you, and with all of the GM love today, with Randy Mueller joining the program, Michael, we're going to continue our GM translator conversation. There's a few interesting sound bites that have come out from various coaches, players, that I want you to read between the lines of. This first one, actually, not so much reading between the lines, but I think it's awesome, considering Bill Belichick's not even on the top three in Atlanta. He did at least have one job offer to be back on an NFL sideline, we learned. Kyle Shanahan on the TK Show podcast, hosted by The Athletic's Tim Kawakami, said on an episode posted Monday, he offered Bill Belichick a spot on the 49ers staff. Take a listen.
Speaking of coaching, I know how much respect you have for Belichick and how important he's been to you. Did you talk to him at all about an informal or even a formal role with this team this year?
I did. I threw it out to him he loves football so much that you never know what he would. I mean, I can't believe that he's not a head coach of a team right now. I know what I would do if I was an owner. So that shocks me. And the last thing you want to do is insult someone like Bill Belichick. But I know he just loves ball in the simplest form. So I threw it all out to him, like whatever he'd want to do.
DC?
Yeah. I was like, would you be interested? And he was very nice and appreciative, but he politely turned me down.
Michael, I love that, though. Good on Kyle Shanahan. Worst he can say is no, right? Like, what if he would have said yes? My dreams all would have been made. Anyways, go on. What do you have to say, Michael?
So today I was having a conversation with a general manager in the National Football League, and we were talking about a lot of things that were going on, specifically the Hard Knocks. And the guy said, you know, it's interesting. What are they're showing us this, but what aren't they showing us? That's got to be really revealing, correct? So, you know, and we got into it, and I said to this person, I said, isn't it amazing that Belichick isn't working? And he said to me, yeah, this is, it's hard to believe that the greatest coach of all time isn't in the league when you watch this stuff. And I said, and this was the exact quote I said to him, and I had no idea that this was happened with Kyle today with Tim, as I said, ask Kyle Shanahan, ask Andy Reid, ask Mike Tomlin, who they wouldn't want for jobs in their division. And I'm sure the answer is going to be Belichick. But yet the Atlanta Falcons, he didn't finish in the top three in their list. And they publicized it. Yeah. And they publicized it. So to me, I think this is like, are we sure our coaches, like if you have a coach watching the Giants, I like Brian Daboll, but watching the him, legs up, asking, like, are we sure we have the best coach for our team when the greatest coach of all time is sitting out there? I think there's a lot of pressure on you.
It is funny you say that. I noticed that too. It's like every scene that Brian Daboll is in, his feet are kicked up on a table, like every single one. But like, obviously,
is it a pool smoking a cigar? Like, life is good. Like, you know, like, I don't think that's, you know, I don't think that's the image you want to project. I think you want to be, you know, you know, George Allen used to say, get to work early and, you know, people think you're a grinder. I think you want to be a grinder. You know, like, I know this is an entertainment show, but you are also packaging who you are and your feet up. You're not like, there's no authority. The one thing when you watch Hard Knocks, there's an absence of leadership. There's no leadership.
Body language aside, I think just the Bill Belichick not having a job of it all is still fascinating. And I'm excited to see him on TV and hear some of his insight on the game. And I think that you and I and most people agree that we're going to see him back on a sideline fairly soon in the National Football League, because they're every year is a cycle of jobs that end up opening up. Now, his former team, the New England Patriots, may have taken North Carolina's Drake May at number 3 overall in the draft, but new head coach Jerod Mayo isn't hiding his feelings about Jacoby Brissett right now. Here's Mayo.
Coming out of the spring, I don't think there's any doubt Jacoby is the starting quarterback at this point in time. I mean, we can look at these other quarterbacks on the roster. At the same time, like, it's about competition. And so when we get out on the field this summer with the pads on, we'll see how it all plays out. But, you know, coming out of the spring, I mean, I think it's clear that Jacoby is the most pro-ready guy we have. The goal for Drake is just to get better each and every day. And look, it's not a straight line up to the top. There will be ups and downs. But if you look left to right, you just hope that if he started here, he's here. And once again, if he comes out here and he takes full advantage and lights it up, like, he could be the day one quarterback. But like I said, coming out of the spring, I think it's Jacoby.
What was that odd to go, Jacoby Brissett's our clear starter, but hey, Drake could still be the day one guy? Like, that's, I found that an odd statement for him on Drake May to follow up on what he had already said about Brissett.
Well, I think he's got to square away his offensive line before you could really put a rookie quarterback behind it. It's a mess. The offensive line is a mess. They signed Michael Owanu to be the starting right tackle. They forgot that he had a weight problem and he gained ridiculous amounts of weight. And so they had to put him back in a guard now. And Calvin Anderson's going to be the starting right tackle for right now. Left tackle, still not sure who they are. So the question marks remain around the tackle position are really going to create some problems for whomever starts their quarterback. And Brissett will get rid of the football quicker than any young quarterback like Drake May, who's not sure what he's seeing. But let's make no mistake about this Patriot team. Last year, they scored 14 touchdowns in the receiving game. 14 passing touchdowns. 13 were by running backs and tight ends. One was by a receiver. They're going to have to find a way to make explosive plays.
Win total for the New England Patriots, just 4.5 under new head coach Jerod Mayo. Now, Caleb Williams of this entire rookie class is the only one who's actually been named the starter so far, which oddly enough includes Washington Commanders' new quarterback, Jaden Daniels. These coaches are playing it as TBD with Daniels. Here's Dan Quinn and GM Adam Peters in Washington.
It's not a secret, but it is a journey and a process. And so as we're going, when he's ready, we'll know. And when he's ready, he'll also know. Through practices, through scrimmages and preseason games, all the way down, that's where the journey will take us. And then, not trying to hold back the info, but when we know, we'll say it.
In my experience with the young quarterbacks, too, like DQ said, it's not one size fits all. And I think everybody can see when that's happening, when they're ready, that the team knows, the coaches know. So you don't want to fast track it. You don't want to slow it down. You just want to let it happen naturally.
They did take him number two overall, and the rest of the quarterback room is Marcus Mariota, Jeff Driscoll, and Sam Hartman. So take me through the GM translation on that one.
Well, nobody asked the question. Like, how can you sit here and say he's not going to be a starter when Mariota can't play three games without getting hurt? Like, seriously. Yeah. Like, of course, if you would have thought he's not the starter, you would have signed a more dependable, reliable backup. Marcus Mariota certainly was the first pick overall in the draft. He has talent, but he's not been able to stay healthy or durable, you know, and make the continuing plays. So to me, this is just running around in a circle. And what is Adam Peters doing up there? It's training camp. There's no time for the GM to. But see, I think that's the indication of what Washington is. They want the GM to run the team. They want the GM to be a focal part of the team. And I'm just not sure that's the right way to go about running teams.
Okay, we got another fun one I want to make sure that we get to here. Tyreek Hill wants a new Dolphins contract, but he has an important trade message for his agent as well. Here's Tyreek.
Obviously, I let Drew and, you know, the team handle that situation. And the only thing I told Drew was, like, do not get me traded, bro. Last time you did this, you got me traded. So that's been my only thing to him. I'm like, I want to stay here in Miami, man, because obviously this is where family is now. Everybody loves it here. Family loves it. Wife loves it. Kids love it. So obviously I love it. Love playing for Coach. And the team, my teammates are awesome. So I wouldn't want to leave, man.
Talking about his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, of course. Don't get me traded, bro.
And he's got a lot of family, too, Stormy. Like, I don't know what family he was talking about, but there's a lot of family there that can't leave. I mean, let's face it.
You're giving Philip Rivers a big run for his money, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, but he's also got, you know, Philip was staying in one spot. He's all over. I mean, so, you know, this is a little bit more of a challenge for him. He better not leave.
You're not lying. I'm not surprised to hear that, though, at least from Tyreek, that he wants to stay. He's happy. He is treated well. Tua gets him the ball every chance he gets. He's in a good situation. Just wants a little more bang for his buck now that some other wide receivers are getting deals.
No question. I mean, look, he's got to get it. And I obviously Drew knows. And look, let's face it. He doesn't have to worry about them not them trading him, because, you know, they need him more than he needs them. I mean, he can go anywhere he wants. He's going to make plays. People are scared of the Miami offense because of a man named Tyreek Hill and his speed and his explosiveness to take the game over.
30 years old, 10 children. Man, he's doing work. Okay, we're going to hit the break when we come back. Special edition of Why Not Wednesday. We got some serious long shots, but are they good enough to make Michael turn his head and say, why not? We will get into it in a moment as we wrap things up on the Lombardi Line.
NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
July is ending with a bang. UFC 304 has not just one, but two titles on the line. Get your own crown by jumping in on the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSIN, that's V-S-I-N, for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. We are wrapping things up as we welcome you back here to the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonatoni with you. I know.
What a quick show, Stormy.
That's what happens when we've got training camp underway and players to talk about and things to yell about.
I know. It's so good. I mean, did you see? I just saw on Twitter. We can react to everything. This is the best part about what we're doing now. that Brandon Ayuk was called off the field.
Well, maybe so that goes to your point.
Off the field.
That goes to your point, though, of saying, hey, these hold-ins can be a distraction at times. If you're not going to be out here, man, get out of here. Go inside.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll know more about that as time comes on. But I thought it was interesting. But and naturally, with all the cameras and all the stuff that we have now available to us, the instant reactions, people can, you can see a lot more what's going on at training camp. Back in the day, you barely could read a newspaper from an opponent's city. You had no idea. Everything was hidden. Today, you just go on Twitter and everything's out there for you to watch.
Yep. We've got insiders and beat reporters out there at every training camp. So tomorrow and throughout the coming weeks, we're going to have tons of video coming out from these practices, press conferences, things that people are hearing. It's a great time with the NFL officially back in our lives. It's so exciting. And with that, there's some betting opportunities as well. We had a really nice conversation with Connor Allen of 444 Sports a little bit earlier today, an NFL betting analyst who has broken down season-long player props over the course of the last handful of years and found some trends, which leads us to our pro tip of the day. And you can find our VSiN pro tips each and every day available at VSiN.com, searchable by sport and by show. So if you're looking for stuff specifically from us, search the Lombardi line. You can find it right there. But he says that, you know, there are so many more ways for a season-long player prop to go under than it is to go over. And if you're making a bet in this market, you should target some of those unders first. According to his research, for the third consecutive year, if you just bet, and we don't recommend this, but if you bet every under on the highest number available in the season-long player prop market, Michael, you would have won over 60% of the time.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, look, there's so much that can go wrong, right? To me, it's a great commentary. This betting tip is a great commentary on when I use the term, you have to avoid losing before you can win. Mm-hmm. Most games are lost, not won. And I think in this betting world, to get the over, you've got to achieve, stay healthy, get the ball, all those things. Whereas the under is a lot easier to achieve because not everything goes right all the time because that ball isn't exactly easy to predict where it could go.
Mm-hmm. Connor also, by the way, laid out the top three highest hit rates on unders. Passing yard unders all at 64% or higher. The second highest hit rate over the last 3 years, receiving touchdown unders at 66%. And the third highest running back rushing touchdown unders also at 64%. Okay, great stuff. Again, remember all of those VSiN pro tips available each and every day at VSiN.com. But it's time to close things out the only way we know how on a Wednesday. Time for Why Not Wednesday.
Question. Maybe a stupid one, but I'm just spitballing here.
Can it make you say why not?
That wasn't a stupid question.
It's time for Why Not Wednesday.
I mean, why not?
You know when they say it's so crazy it just might work?
It's so crazy it just might work. We've got a handful of long shot props. I'm going to throw Michael's way and see if it might just make you want to tilt your head and say why not. We're going to start out there in San Francisco with the 49ers. We know this offense loves to run the ball, but Brock Purdy was also top three in NFL passing touchdowns last year, Michael. Could you say why not to the 49ers having one or more passing touchdown in every regular season game this season? 8-1 is the payout.
Oh, why not on that? Ooh. Hell yeah. I mean, look, he gets the ball. This whole Jordan Love thing that he's getting all this love, which he certainly is a good player, but Purdy is, whoa. Purdy is sensational. And I think when you really, and I put this in the, I put this on my column this week, when you break down the Niners, I mean, when they don't turn the ball over, they're as good as any team. They're the best team in the league. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, and ball security is everything for them. In nine games, they didn't commit a turnover. They were 9-0. In the three games they committed three or more, they were 0-3. In two games with two or more or one turnover, they were 4-3. So when they protect the football, and Purdy typically does, they win.
Well, and that's a great point, Michael, because Purdy only did not have a passing touchdown in two games last year. One of them was that game on Christmas Day where he had four interceptions uncharacteristically against the Ravens. So when he is dialed, which is the majority of the time, he is ultimately getting in the end zone. Let's go to another team in the NFC. CeeDee Lamb, Michael. He is coming off a career season, 1,749 yards, 12 touchdowns, but he's holding out at training camp right now. Once he gets back on the field, could you say why not to him going 1,750 plus receiving yards in the regular season at 4-1?
No, I can't. Because I think when you hold out like this, I don't think this team's connected. I don't think this team's together. And I think it's a problem. And I think it does reflect. There's too many guys wondering, when is it going to happen? And when there's that many wins, it's a problem.
And we just need to get somebody's contract done in Dallas. What is happening? Jarek, come on. Let's go out to Los Angeles, by the way, where Matthew Stafford, he is in the process of finalizing a restructured deal at 36 years old. Could you say why not? It only has to happen once. But to Stafford having 500 plus yards in a game, just once, it's 10-1. Could it happen?
No, because here's why. I'm going to tell you why it won't happen.
All right.
Because when you really break down this, look, I got the stat right here for you. I'm going to enter this in the court of Stormy Law here. Okay. Let me just get to it right now. Here are the Rams, okay? The Rams, when they score 21 or less points in seven games, they were 2-5. And when they don't run the ball for at least 110 yards, they will lose. And I think, to me, that's the biggest question mark. They have to have balance in their run game. They cannot just be a 50 pass game. And so I think, to me, they play their best when they have balance. That's why he won't throw for 500 yards.
Okay, that's all fair points. Another player I do want to ask you, though, about the 500 plus yards is Tua Tagovailoa. Now, we saw the way that he was able to light up bad teams. They had that 70 point game against the Broncos at one point last season. He's got his marquee weapons, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, even their running backs, solid in the passing game. 8-1 for him to have a 500 plus yard passing game. Could you say why not to Tua?
Yeah, I could. I mean, because look, 500 yards, we know that he's got great receivers. You know, and two, a couple big plays here, a couple big plays there. And the next thing you know, it's the old, the saying, Dirksen said, a million here, a million there. Before long, we're spending real money, a couple hundred yards passing to Tyreek Hill. The next thing you know, you're at 500.
Speaking of Tyreek Hill, last year, we all remember him making the proclamation that he thought he could be the first 2,000-yard receiver in the National Football League. Could you say why not to him making it happen in 2024-25? 11-1 is the number.
I like this one. I think it can happen if he stays healthy. And again, like we learned, some of these things are avoidable because of injuries, but yes. He was on pace to get this 2,000 yards and he got injured. And unfortunately, that affected him. But I would say that he has a great opportunity to do that, assuming he can play in all 17 games.
And to go back to your earlier point last segment, if he wants to hit those incentives, it's going to be important for him to pay for all them kids. Last one here while we can. Malik Nabers.
You said that. I didn't, Stormy. And I got yelled at for bringing all that up. But I mean,
don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know how he can. I have five grandchildren. And now I got three in the house. I say their names wrong all the time because I call Dominic Mikey. I call him because he looks like his father. I call him Mick. It's like I'm all messed up. I don't know how Tyreek, he must study the names. He must, okay. I got to get all
studying
these names
his
down.
Kid's name like the playbook. One more here real quickly. Malik Nabers to have 200 plus receiving yards in any regular season game. Be a hard knocks.
No,
all the coaches seem really high on him. You don't think so? No.
No. I mean, who's throwing him the ball? You, me? Who's Daniel Jones? I mean, he can't. Daniel Jones never averaged over 7 yards per attempt in his career. Are you kidding me? He's not throwing him the ball. And here's the thing: I think
it's
you
Drew
Lock. Really
what if it's Drew Lock? What if it's Drew Lock?
I still don't. I mean, here's what you have to understand too about this situation in New York. People are going to double Nabers immediately. They're going to say to Daniel Jones, go somewhere else. See if somebody else can beat us. That's why Barkley with Nabers, now you got something. But I'm not worried about Motor Singletary. Let him have the ball 100 times if he wants it. Who is he going to do? What are they going to do? Be now, beat me.
Yeah, I'm with you there on Saquon. You can't help but keep on going back to that moment when Joe Shane looks at his computer, sees he's getting an extra $25, $30 million in the cap and says, you know what? I still don't want to spend that on my star running back, who is our entire offense. We're better off. We're fine.
Yeah.
What are you
all good.
Do?
Don't worry about it, Storm. We got it. But what we have is you tomorrow, and we got Stormfront coming tomorrow. So get ready for the weather.
No doubt about it. You're the best, Michael. See you tomorrow, same time, same place. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.